We go back to Jeremiah 44, verse 12, and I will take the remnant of Judah that have set their faces to go into the land of Egypt to sojourn there, and they shall all be consumed. That's big. That's big. That doesn't sound very conciliatory or to give any hope at all. All shall be consumed and fall in the land of Egypt. They shall even be consumed by the sword and by famine. They shall die from the least even unto the greatest, by the sword and by the famine, and they shall be an execration, that is a curse, and an astonishment, and a curse, and a reproach. You know, God doubles up the word curse just like he doubles the word shame. Shame and a reproach in other places. It's because shame and a curse is a very integral part of the punishment that comes because of rebellion against God. For I will punish them that dwell in the land of Egypt, as I have punished Jerusalem by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence. Well, so far, this sounds as definite and as certain as anything can sound like. There's no hope. There's no hope. You have crossed the line. You have rebelled and rebelled and rebelled and rebelled and rebelled. And frankly, now I am through with you. There is no hope for you. But, let's go to verse 14. So that none of the remnant of Judah, which are gone into the land of Egypt to sojourn there, shall escape or remain, that they should return into the land of Judah, to the which they have a desire to return to dwell there. For none shall return, then what? But such as shall escape. God has said it enough, 19 different ways. You're done. I'm through with you. You're going to be destroyed. Come to you again and again and again. I have shown you your wickedness, and you have rebelled and rebelled. And then here he says, but such as shall escape. So that means that there's a few that might escape. Now maybe in that setting it's no more than Jeremiah and Baruch, his secretary. We don't know. We don't know. But the language is saying, but such as those that will escape, indicating. This is another way of saying, but, in spite of my wrath, in spite of your rebellion, there is still a little bit of hope. And that coincides with the very nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is merciful. He is patient. He is long-suffering. And through this, God is demonstrating to all the principalities and powers, as well as to us, what a wonderful God he is. That means you have relatives who are still in the church. Absolutely. You people are nuts. You people are crazy. You people are bringing all kinds of false doctrine. Keep praying for them. Keep praying for them. Keep praying for them. Keep praying for them. Because some may still escape. They may have been loudmouths for a long time, yelling at God or yelling at what the truth is that we're bringing, but they still might be one of those who will escape. And God emphasizes that a little further. We read in verse 15, then all the men which knew that their wives had burned incense unto other gods, and all the women that stood by, a great multitude, even all the people that dwelt in the land of Egypt in Pathros, answered Jeremiah, saying, now God has taken us away from that tiny little bit of hope, and he's looking again into the hearts of whom he's dealing with. And what does he see? It's incredible. It's incredible, except that's exactly the way it is. He asked for the word that thou hast spoken unto us in the name of Jehovah. We will not hearken unto it. In other words, we are convinced we have the truth. This is so real today, it's almost mind-boggling that here are 2 billion people identified with churches. And they're hearing the truth. They're hearing the truth. And yet they will not listen. They will not listen. They're just convinced that when we are talking about these other things from the Bible, it's like we're talking about things from a book of what poems that some secular writer wrote, or some theories of somebody. No way. We're talking right out of the Bible. And they will not listen. In fact, they come very, very determined. But we will certainly do whatsoever thing goeth forth out of our own mouth, to burn incense unto the Queen of Heaven, and to pour our drink offerings unto her, as we have done, we and our fathers, our kings, and our princes, in the cities of Judah, and in the streets of Jerusalem. For then had we plenty of victuals, and were well, and saw no evil. What we discover here is not only their stubbornness, but their blindness. When they're saying, when we were serving the Queen of Heaven, it's an admission that they had been doing that, but they're saying then all went well. Now, wait a minute. Was all going well? Those were in the days when judgment began to come against them. And so, but from their standpoint, everything looked well. It's just like the world today. You know, the world today can look so pleasant. Oh, sure, we're going through a recession right now, but that could change in a few months. And again, the world could begin to look like everything is going to be well. Because everybody's hope is in this world, and that's where their trust is. I guess you could say the difficulty is that mankind lives by sight, what I can see. I can see that I have a nice coat on. I can see that I live in a nice house. I can see that I have a little money in a bank account. When you talk about heaven, when you talk about a relationship with Christ, I can't see that. I just can't see that. Draw me a picture. No, we can't draw a picture. I just can't see that. And so that makes it super difficult that they just cannot see. Faith doesn't enter into it at all. And faith doesn't enter into it. You know, I've been thinking, we say, those who are true believers are to believe the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? What is the Lord Jesus Christ? The Bible. The Bible is the Word. And if we don't believe the Word, that is, if we don't listen to the Word, we don't believe in Christ. We're kidding ourselves that we are a child of God. Well, okay, but there's more to say. We will, verse 17, we will certainly do whatsoever thing goeth forth out of our own mouth, to burn incense unto the Queen of Heaven, to pour out our drink offerings unto her, as we have done, we and our fathers, our kings, and our princes, in the cities of Judah, and in the streets of Jerusalem, for they, then we had plenty of victuals, and were well, and saw no evil. Incidentally, this is a confession. They are admitting their sin, but they're not confessing their sin. They are simply admitting their sin. But since we left off to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and to pour out drink offerings from her, we have wanted all things and have been consumed by the sword and by the famine. And when we burned incense to the Queen of Heaven and poured out drink offerings unto her, did we make her cakes to worship her and pour our drink offerings unto her without our men? In other words, it's the women and the men all together in it, tying back to Jeremiah chapter 7. Then Jeremiah said, and you would think, you would think again, now I've had it. What a rebellious people. I've offered it, still offered them forgiveness that someone could escape. And listen to this people. They are so rebellious. Then Jeremiah said unto all the people, to the men and to the women, and to all the people which had given him that answer, saying, the incense that ye burned in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, ye and your fathers, your kings, your princes, and the people of the land, did not the Lord remember them, and came it not into his mind, so that Jehovah could no longer bear because of the evil of your doings, and because of the abomination which ye have committed? Therefore is your land a desolation, and an astonishment, and a curse, without an inhabitant, as at this day, because ye have burned incense, and because ye have sinned against Jehovah, and have not obeyed the voice of Jehovah, nor walked in his law, nor in his statutes, nor in his testimonies, therefore this evil has happened unto you, as at this day. And so, again, God is using their very own words in which they have condemned themselves. They have come through with a clear admission of their rebellion against God. And so, could the case be any stronger against them? You would think God is done. God is done with them. They are, there's no hope whatsoever. Yes, I said back there, there might be some who escape, but that's really too much, isn't it? Isn't it too much? Is it possible that I would be that merciful that after this kind of an attitude that I would still have mercy on them? Well, let's go on. Moreover, Jeremiah said unto all the people and to all the women, hear the word of Jehovah, all Judah that are in the land of Egypt. Thus saith Jehovah of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, ye and your wives have both spoken with your mouths and fulfilled with your hand, saying, we will surely perform our vows that we have vowed to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and to pour our drink offerings unto her, ye will surely accomplish your vows, and surely perform your vows. Therefore, hear ye the word of Jehovah, all Judah that dwell in the land of Egypt. Behold, I have sworn by my great name, says Jehovah, that my name shall no more be named in the mouth of any man of Judah in all the land of Egypt, saying, the Lord God liveth. Now, if we stopped reading there, we'd have to say, you know, you can tangle with God so long. You can attest his patience so long. But there finally comes the time when you cross the line. Now, these people have made a clear admission of their sin. There's no doubt at all that what Jeremiah is claiming against them, or God is claiming against them, is absolutely true. They have admitted, yes, that is true. That is true. They have no sadness about it. There's no weeping. It's true. Could God forgive us? No way. It's all said very arrogantly and very proudly. The situation for a final condemnation could not be more be set forth in clearer language than we see here. Behold, now let's go on, because there's still more. Behold, I will watch over them for evil and not for good, and all the men of Judah that are in the land of Egypt shall be consumed by the sword and by the famine until there be an end of them. Stop right there. And we see, you see, God finally had it. He had it. There's finally an end to the patience of God. Finally. In fact, I don't know of another chapter in the Bible where there is as much arrogance and as much rebellion and ugly attitude toward God as in this chapter. It is incredible. But then, look at the next verse. Yet a small number that escaped the sword shall return out of the land of Egypt into the land of Judah. And all the remnant of Judah that are gone into the land of Egypt to sojourn there shall know whose words shall stand, mine or theirs. Now, Jesus used superlatives like all, you're all going to be destroyed. And again, we can say, well, that small remnant is Jeremiah. But God isn't saying that. God isn't saying that. He's just saying there's still a possibility. And I read this to say that we have a God who is incredibly patient, incredibly forgiving, incredibly merciful, way beyond anything that we can understand. We don't have that kind of patience. We don't have that kind. In fact, that's why God says, how often do you forgive? 70 times 70. Well, yeah, that's fine to read that, but wait till somebody has really done a dirty deal against you. I mean, really a nasty thing. And maybe it's someone who is a relative or somebody who... Yeah, I forgive that person, I forgive. But I'll never forget. I'll never forget what that person did to me. No, we haven't forgiven at all. We don't understand the forgiveness of God. It is incredible. To me, this passage gives us enormous hope for our loved ones who are still don't understand, whose eyes have not been opened. There still can be some who will escape. We pray and pray and pray, and God wants us to pray. He wants us to keep pleading and pleading for these, and there still is that hope. And because there's still a small number that will escape the sword. And then it says, and this shall be a sign unto you, saith Jehovah, that I will punish you in this place, that ye may know that my word shall surely stand against you for evil. In other words, you're going to have plenty of evidence that my wrath is on you as you are dying off and as you are being punished here in Egypt. Well, that's what this chapter is all about. On the one hand, it is the absolutely amazing, astounding mercy and forgiveness and patience of God again over against the hardest of sinners, the most difficult of sinners. There is still hope. There is still hope. And to me, this is an enormously encouraging chapter when I think of my own loved ones and my friends who are not seeing this at all. Some, there still may be one here, one there, who will escape no matter how they are locked in to their wrong thinking.